We were at a conference toward the beginning of this year, and the speaker said that in the year 2017, John 17 is going to be fulfilled. And this bore witness with our spirits when Kay and I heard that, because in John 17, Jesus talks about the glory. And he talks first about the glory that he says he's going to be restored to the glory that he had before the world began. And as we know, Jesus laid aside his glory and he became a man and a servant, dwelt among us. And he never ceased to be God, but he ceased to take his rights as God. He laid those rights down as God and became the servant of all. But he said that when he was going back to heaven, that the glory that he had with the Father before the foundation of the earth, this was going to be restored to him. But then later on in his prayer in John 17, he talks about the glory in verse 22. He says that the glory that you gave me, I have given them so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me. A guy wants to reveal his glory, not only through Jesus, but he wants to reveal that glory through us. And I think it's interesting that he speaks, first of all, of the glory that he had before the foundation of the world, the glory as God. This glory we'll never receive because we'll never be God. That's really good news. There's only one God. And none of us apply for that job. See, so that glory we'll never get, but there is a glory that belongs to man. That man was created for the purpose of glory. And that Jesus came to win back that glory. That glory wasn't lost, but that glory was lost to us because of sin. Jesus came and he died on the cross for the purpose not only of saving us from the powers of death, but he came to save us to the glory that all have sinned and fallen short of. He came to restore man to that glory. And this is the hour, I believe, that God is moving in all the earth to restore mankind in Christ to the glory that man was created for. The glory to reveal the God, the glory to be the picture of God, the glory to be the image of God on the earth. I love that scripture that says that the God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the God who shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I believe what the world needs is to see the face of Jesus Christ. I remember after I had been saved for a while, I was in a store and music was playing in the store, and by the grace of God, I have learned to be somewhere where music is playing and just to be able to shut it out. But in this particular time, a song was playing by the Rolling Stones. I had never heard it before, but I knew it was. I recognized the voice of Mick Jagger. And in this song, he said, I don't want to hear any more about Jesus. And of course, when I heard the name Jesus, my ears opened. I wanted to hear the rest of it. He said, I don't want to hear any more about Jesus. I just want to see his face. And when I heard that, I said, Wow, what a challenge. What a challenge for us. And this is what God wants to do. He wants people to see the face of Jesus Christ in us, because in seeing Jesus, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when people see Jesus in us, when people see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in us, they're looking right into the face of God. And I believe that's what God wants to do in this hour. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to show his glory. He wants to glorify his sons in this hour. Turn, if you will, to Romans 8. Because in Romans 8, Paul talks about sons coming forth. And I believe that the ultimate fulfillment of this is when Jesus comes again. But I also believe that until Jesus comes again, we can actually live in the good of this until he comes. We don't have to wait until he comes to see the final fulfillment of this, in the same sense that Jesus said when he came to this earth, he said, the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God has come. He also taught us to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So there are degrees of it. And God wants us to enter into a degree of this. He wants us to enter into a degree of this sonship. And we don't have to limit. We don't have to limit it. We don't have to say we can only have so much now. I like what they said in Bethel when we were there. There was a pamphlet there, and they said, we are experimenting how much of the glory of the kingdom we can have now. I like that. I said, I want to be in that experiment. I also want to experiment. I don't want to limit God in any way. I don't want to say we can only have so much now and we'll get the rest later. I want to say we'll take as much as we can now. And we want to live in that. If the kingdom of God is really in us, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead really is inside of us, and it's this Spirit that will quicken our mortal body, and it's actually this Spirit of life that will ultimately transform us when Jesus comes again. We will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, in a cosmic second. If that Spirit is really in us, if that transforming power really is in us, let's live in as much of it as we can. And that's what Paul is saying, I believe, in Romans 8. First of all, he talks about that we are children of God. The Spirit testifies with our spirit. Well, first of all, you have not received the spirit of slavery, which leads to fear again, but you have received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. We speak the same language as Jesus. I love that. By the Spirit of the Son, by the Spirit of Sonship, by that Spirit that has been commissioned by God the Father in the name of Jesus to produce in us the fruits of sonship, we cry, Abba, Father. We speak the same language as Jesus. Jesus said, my Father and your Father. Before that, he had mostly just talked about my Father. But then he said, my Father and your Father. Your Father. And now we speak the same language. We have received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We are God's born ones. And there's a distinction in the writing, in the Bible, in the New Testament, a distinction between the word child and son. And by the Spirit, we've been born again. This is not just a picture. This is a reality. I love what John says. Behold the manner of love that God has shown us, that we should be called the children of God. And then he adds, and that is what we are. Yeah. The reason that God calls us his children is because that's what we are. It's not a picture. We have actually been born by the power of the Holy Spirit as children of God. We have been born of God. We have the life of God inside of us. We are children of God. We are in the family of God. We're not God. We'll never be God. But God has done the next best thing. He's brought us into his family. He's brought us into the inner circle. He's brought us in to the, I love to call it, he's brought us into the eternal community of everlasting love. I mean, that is amazing. Let's never preach a measly gospel again of believe in Jesus so you can go to heaven when you die. It's much better than that. Yes, you will go to heaven when you die, okay? But it's much better than that, because the best thing about heaven is God. In fact, if God weren't there, heaven wouldn't be heaven. So it's much more than just going to heaven. It's about God. It's about being restored into what God called us originally to be, part of that glorious fellowship, that community of eternal love. And he invites us in. He calls us in. And he doesn't just give us a name. He doesn't just call us his children. He does that first. He buys us out of the slave market. He takes us home. And he doesn't make us his slave. He makes us his children. He gives us the full rights as sons. And then he does what no adoptive father could ever do. He breathes in us his very own life so that we're born of God. God has been joined to us forever. That's what it means to be a child of God. But that's not even the end of the story. That's only the beginning. That's just the open door. It goes further, because in this, Paul talks about if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. So he calls us into something very, very beautiful. He calls us into union with his son. In Romans 6, Paul talked about being baptized into the death of Christ and then being joined with him in the resurrection. We've been united with Christ. So, yes, we will suffer. We will bear that shame. We will take our cross on us and we'll follow Jesus. We don't live for ourselves any longer. When it talks about sufferings, it's not talking about an incurable disease. It's not talking about your mother-in-law. It's not talking about a person hard to get along with. It's talking about sharing in the commission and living for one thing and one thing alone, to see God be glorified on earth as he is in heaven. Amen. And so these are called sons of God because they're coming into a maturity. That's why he talks about in Romans 8:28, he talks about being conformed. into the image of the Son. And this means a lot more than character. It means character. Character is foundational in it, but it's not all about that. Because Jesus, when he came to this earth, he didn't just exemplify good character. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He was good. He is good. He exemplified kindness, righteousness, holiness, purity, all of these things. But he didn't just come to earth to show us how good he is. He didn't just come to earth to show us his character. He showed us his character also in the things that he did. He broke the powers of darkness. He cast demons out. He healed the sick. He never tolerated the powers of darkness. And God wants to conform us into the image of his Son. That's part of what it means to be conformed into the image of his Son. Yes, it is about character, because without the character, you can't carry this kind of a weight. You can't carry this kind of anointing. But the character is foundation. It's not just about God making us better. It's about God making us supernaturally better. It's about God coming into our lives, transforming us, but also calling us into this divine mission where we are going about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. I so hunger for that in my spirit. I so long for that more and more, to go about doing good. I love that. Doing good. And healing all that are oppressed of the devil. And that's what I read in Romans 8:2, in this verse that we all love so much. And we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I like in the New International Version, there's an alternate reading of that. And it popped out of the page to me one day. If you have a New International at the bottom of the page, it says that God, here's an alternate translation of that, doesn't take anything away, because God still works together for our good. But here's what it says. It says, God works with those who love him and are called according to his purpose to bring about good. Wow. He's still working in our lives to turn things, sour things, into good. He's still turning around things in our lives. But the thing of it is, he's not just doing it for us. He's doing it also through us for others. And he's not just doing it sovereignly and we're just watching. Because the beautiful thing about this union with Christ is that we're no longer just recipients, we're also participants. We're also called to participate in Christ. We're not just called to watch. We're not just called as spectators. We're called as participants. We're in the dance. We're there with him, joined with him. He's called us to the dance. He's invited us to dance with him. He's invited us into the whole thing so that it's not just God working and we're watching. God works with those who love him and are called according to his purpose in order to bring about good. And what is his purpose? His purpose is to conform us into the image of Christ. And God works with those. If you look this word up in a work with in a lexicon, the word is synergeo, and you hear in that synergy. Synergy is never just one person working alone. Synergy is always two or more people, two or more persons working together. And in Mark 16, it says that the disciples went out preaching everywhere and that Jesus worked with them. He was confirming the word with signs of attesting power. God is working with us. We're not just standing there watching, but God is working with us. He's working with you. When you go out on these missions, God is working with you. When you have guests coming into your house, God is working with you. He's not just going to do something and you're going to watch. He's working with you. He's taking you out on these missions. He's working with you. He worked with you in Burundi. He's working with you in Uganda. He's working with you in everything that you take up. And you don't have to just wait until God says do this or do that. You're allowed to dream with Him. You're allowed to have a vision. You're allowed to, as long as Jesus is in the center and the desire of your heart is to glorify God and help people, you can dream. You can have a vision and you can go forth preaching and God works with you. Paul said we are workers together with God. Workers together with God. Not only is God working with us, but we're working with God. We're in this thing together. We're in a partnership. Sometimes when I get in a fix, sometimes when I don't know what to do or where it's going to go from here, I say, Lord, this was your idea in the first place, you know. It's kind of like what Moses said to God when he was bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt. God kept saying, your people. Moses said, wait a second. They're your people. Yes, they're my people too, but they're your people. We're in this together. And God is working with you, and God is confirming that word with signs following.
Amen.
I believe God wants us to expect that. I believe that God wants us when we go out, whatever we do, when we stay here.
Yes.
It's not just about going out. God doesn't just want to do things out there. He wants to do things here. He wants to do things in us. He wants to do things for us. But He's not just going to do it as we passively stand by and watch. We engage with God. We activate our faith. We release our faith. When we worship God, we are working together with Him. He is working together with us. It may seem like a trivial thing to just sit in a room and sing songs. It's much more than that. Much more happened tonight than just singing songs. Much more happened tonight than what happened in this room, than what happened in your own heart. We had the possibility of releasing something tonight out of this temple that God has put together for tonight. There was something released of the glory of God that, like a river, went out of the threshold of His temple and went into the valley of death. I believe that when we come together to worship God, I believe that something happens. I believe that there is a power released from us. I believe that when we lift Him up, that His enemies are scattered. I believe that something happens that breaks chains. I believe that something happens that releases the captives. And we don't necessarily see it right now, right here. But something has happened, even to tonight, while we were praising Him, something happens in the Spirit. And that's what Paul, I believe Paul is indicating that in Romans 8, because he does talk about this whole thing of God working with those who are called, who love Him and are called according to His purpose. The context of this is praying in the Spirit. The context of this is praying with unutterable sounds, which means at least tongues. It means more than tongues, but it doesn't mean less than tongues. So when we're praying in tongues, we are speaking mysteries. We're not just babbling. We are releasing something out of our spirits. We're building something. We're building a habitation for God. But we are praying a perfect prayer. We're praying in full accordance with the mind and the heart and the will of God. I encourage you to pray even more in the Spirit. I love it in this place because you do that. You do pray in the Spirit. You do pray in tongues a lot. And I encourage you to pray even more. Because as we're praying in the Spirit, something is happening. Yes. Something far beyond what we can conceive with our mind. Our mind may not know what's going on, but something is happening as we are praying in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is doing something and He's releasing something. He's working together with us to bring about good.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we just thank you that you work together with us because we love you. We're in a covenant of love with you. You have loved us and we love you. And we are called according to your purpose to be conformed into the image of your Son, not just sometime in the distant future, but now to exhibit your Son in this earth, O God, to give you glory that people see the face of Jesus Christ in our lives, in our words, in our deeds, O God, Lord, as we live and preach and teach your word, and as we do your word, as we release, as we lay hands on the sick, we believe they shall recover. We believe as we speak forth your word, we believe things happen. We don't believe that it's just verbal communication. We believe that your word is powerful and active, and it acts, it accomplishes things. And we believe that when people go forth from this place and in this place, the kingdom of God is being demonstrated. We're working with God, and God is working with us.